Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
All right, Happy New Year, everybody, 2017 from China Business Cast. Shlomo, how are you? Yeah.
I'm good.
Bells here. Great. It's a great new year, episode 54.
Yep.
Getting up there. So how was your New Year's, Shlomo?
Starting by getting ready for a long trip to Thailand, to Chiang Mai and Taiwan, which is really nice. So we're excited. It's actually next week. And yeah, so, you know, we're packing, we're getting ready, you know, doing the last stuff, the last thing we need to do. It's about 2.5 months. So you need to get ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a good adventure, Chiang Mai, right? So I'm sure there's some listeners hanging out there. It's like the digital nomad capital. And for me, yeah, I mean, I've been working on a new course for Global from Asia. It's kind of like a little bit more of a international business, a little bit outside of Hong Kong and China, about productivity and project management, which I think, you know, I'm pretty fascinated about. So it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. It's stuff I'm passionate about. And if anybody's interested to check it out, it's globalfromasia.com/course for that. We'll link it on the notes. So any resolutions? I mean, we talk about New Year's, but how about a...
No resolutions. I'm not a guy for New Year's resolutions.
I used to be. I think we're the same, right? I mean, of course, it's exciting to just have a new year on a date, and I'm probably going to mess up my dates for a while, putting 2016 for a little while on some documents. But, you know, I think it's always I'm trying to improve, right? I mean, we're always trying to achieve our goals and improve ourselves. I don't need to wait for a date to make a difference.
But let's be honest here. I mean, we need to distinguish between two things. It's New Year's resolutions versus, let's say, goals and deadlines that you need to sometimes put a date to that, even though it's not a special date like New Year's, but it's better to say, I want to achieve this by this date. And that's more actionable and pushes you towards that goal instead of just making it open-ended.
Exactly. All right. Well, I hope everybody, whether you have resolutions or not, has a great 2017. Just some more announcements. As usual, we have our WeChat group, which have been adding some new people, and it's a little bit of chat there, and you can add Shlomo or myself, and that's the best way we've found to get people in a group. So Shlomo's user ID on WeChat is ShlomoF, S-H-L-O-M-O-F. And then mine is my last name, Michelini, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I, if you want to add us there. And we also have different masterminds for different types of business owners. You can check that out at chinabusinesscast.com/mastermind. There's one with Startup Noodle and Shlomo on tech in China and Enter China. Probably should add my course there too, so people can choose different ones. And as always, we really support and encourage you guys to leave us a positive review on iTunes or Stitcher. It helps. We'll read it off on the show, and it really motivates us for future episodes. So Shlomo and I really appreciate it. Thanks in advance.
That's your chance, guys, to be on the show. So go ahead.
Definitely. Definitely. Thank you, guys. So how about today's guest today, Shlomo? What we got going on?
Okay. So this week we got Nick Lancheski. He's from the US and he lived in China for 6 years total. He moved to China after college to teach English, and he wrote a book. And the book is called Ultimate China Guide, How to Teach English, Travel, Learn Chinese and Find Work in China. This guy has a lot of adventures in China that he did. He was playing a violin with an orchestra. He was producing 2 films. He was dating like many other foreigners, and also talks about the general stuff of prepared to living in China, where to live, how to find a job, stuff like that. And I got him on a call of how he did those stuff and trying to help others who try to do the same step. Let's tune in.
Very cool. Let's listen in.
So hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. Mike is not here today. He is at a conference, so he couldn't make it. So it's only me today. And today we have Nick Lencheski as our guest. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Shlomo.
Great to have you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Sure.
So I'm going to make a short intro and then we'll jump into the questions. Nick and myself had a talk before, and he's got a really interesting story to tell about his career and things he's done in China. So I'm sure that would be exciting and interesting for people to hear. So let's get going. Nick moved to China after college to teach English and ended up staying 6 years total in China. He's the author of a book called Ultimate China Guide, How to Teach English, Travel, Learn Chinese, and Find Work in China. This is where he goes in depth for many of the experience he had there, including, and I'm reading just some of those, playing a violin with an orchestra, directing and producing two films, dating, how to prepare for living in China, where to live, and a question that I get a lot is how to find a job in China. I actually got one just the other day for my startup noodle email. So that would be interesting to speak about. Anyway, Nick, great to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Shlomo. Great to be here.
How about you tell us a bit about yourself and what you're doing these days? Let's start with that.
Sure. So, like you said, I got started with China after I graduated from college. I had done a study abroad in Greece and Italy, and I really enjoyed that experience of living abroad and how it was so easy to travel. And, you know, I traveled all around Europe. And so after doing that, I wanted to keep doing that after college. And I thought Asia seemed like a great, great choice. And this was in 2007. And so I was hearing a lot about China. And there was a program at my school that sent people to China to teach English. So I decided to do that.
When was that?
That was in 2007.
Okay.
And so that's how I first got started in China. And I ended up teaching English for 3 years at a school, at a college. And it was in a city called Zhongshan, which is just south of Guangzhou, just to the west of Hong Kong. And like you said, I had a lot of different experiences there with dating and making a couple short films, playing in an orchestra, and traveling all over the place.
People really do interesting things in China. They end up doing.
You always meet different people who are doing different odd jobs, China's a great, crazy
place.
What
was your main goal when arriving there, actually, arriving to China?
So initially, it was just mainly to travel. When I first arrived in China, I wanted to see as much of the country and surrounding area as I could, Japan, Thailand. So that was kind of my main goal, as well as to immerse myself in the culture and learn a new culture and make friends and generally just explore. That was my first intention before I even went to China.
Okay. So as I mentioned at the intro, I get a lot of questions, job-related questions from Startup Noodle readers. And I wonder how you land on your first job in China. And I assume that then you didn't know Chinese. So how did that work?
So for the teaching English job, there are lots and lots of teaching English jobs in China.
Yeah.
And China is a place where kind of the requirements can change very quickly and things aren't always black and white, but there are kind of three main things you may need to get a job in China teaching English anyway. So the first is a college degree. They like to see that usually. And then second, they will want some teaching experience. And if you don't have teaching experience, then some type of teaching English as a second language certificate, like TESOL or TESOL, something like that. I never got anything like that. When I went in 2007, they didn't require any of these teaching experience requirements. It was just getting a college degree that was enough to work. But at least the school I had worked at in Zhongshan, they now require teaching experience prior to getting a job.
And you need to be in English from an English-speaking country.
Yeah.
Yep, even though you don't speak English sometimes in your English speaking country, that happens as well.
Right. Yep. Yeah. There are some little little things to watch out for, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so every school is different. I got my job through the place where I went to college here in the United States in Minnesota. And there are lots of different programs and the schools themselves that you can find online. Just a few different sites. There's like Dave's ESL Cafe or Angelina's Cafe, ESL Cafe. TeachAway is another website. GoAbroad.com. GoOverseas.com.
So I'll put some in the show notes afterwards.
Yeah, okay. So those are some different ways you can get started. And like I said, I didn't find a job through those, but people I know have, and they'll talk about how they heard back, you know, right away. Oh, this place, they want me to come and work for them. Or, you know, there's an interview, and you got to kind of, you know, there's a lot more to think about, but that's the general way to get a teaching job in China. So now for the other type of work, I had worked in China after this, and this is after I knew Chinese. So, you know, this might be a little bit, it depends. Again, it's dependent on the situation. But after spending 4 years in China, I learned Chinese once I got there. And I just spent every day studying, and I really liked it. And so I wanted a job where I could use Chinese. And so I was actually planning to move back to the U.S. and I wanted to work for a company that had dealt with China. And so how I did it, I went on LinkedIn and I did because in the past I'd always had not very good luck applying to jobs. You know, I'd search for a job on like Monster.com or Indeed, and it would, you know, it said in the job description, you know, like Chinese skills, a plus. And, you know, so I'd get all excited and apply and of course never hear back. Mm-hmm. And so I instead of trying to apply to jobs, I went on LinkedIn and took kind of more of a networking approach. And so I searched for some small companies in Minnesota that had offices in China. And I could find that out by searching and then checking their website and description of their company. Usually they'll say, you know, this such ABC company, and we have offices in, you know, like London, Shanghai, whatever. And so went on the website, found their email address or like contact form, and then sent them an email saying, "Hi, I'm Nick, and here's a little bit about me. I lived in China for 4 years and have this experience teaching and speak Chinese fluently, and I'd like to help, you know, ABC company with your work in China." And one company I sent that message to, they got back to me the next day, and we had a Skype conversation, and the person I was speaking with, he was not even aware of how I could help them, but he just liked the fact that I spoke Chinese and I lived in China, and it was just a very cool company, and they, you know, they wanted to talk to me and see if there was a place for me.
You still work with them today?
I don't know. Some, I kind of regret it sometimes, but no, I worked there for 2 years.
Okay.
So anyway, I got kind of these little series of interviews from them, and I spoke with the general manager of the office in China, which is in Jiaxing between Hangzhou and Shanghai. And he said they needed someone who could kind of act as a, like an in-house translator and interpreter, cultural guide, and English teacher. And so the office was about, we had maybe 50 people total, about 20 at the time. It grew the 2 years I was there, maybe about 20 people in the office and then 30 in the kind of the factory area. And so that is basically how I got that job. Kind of networking.
Okay. Do you think that you can start with something different than English teaching? I mean, many people start with that and then they try to move on. And I'm obviously speaking when you don't speak Chinese. Right. I know of several cases like that, but obviously it's more difficult.
Yeah, I think you can do it. Most, like you said, most people at least to most people I know, they went to China first teaching English, and then they want to find something else. And oftentimes they don't speak Chinese, or they might speak a little bit, I guess you could say. And, but yeah, I think so. There, another way to get those types of jobs, you could use job boards that specifically cater to foreigners in China. And there are jobs you can get that are not teaching jobs. One is like technical writing, where you are a Chinese person, usually is translating something from Chinese into English. So the English might not be exactly 100% correct. Yeah, right. It might not flow so well. Yeah. So you might get hired for a job. And again, you know, this might depend on where you're from or what your native language is, but you could get a job kind of correcting those documents. That's one thing. I think if you are, you know, maybe an engineer or in sales or marketing, those skills are really valuable. And you could, and sometimes they'll want people to who can speak Chinese, who can do some of those jobs. But I've also met a lot of people, a lot of engineers who don't speak Chinese, who work in China.
I see. Today you're doing mostly interpretation, right?
Yeah. Yep. So now I currently live in the US and I'm doing medical interpretation and interpretation for businesses. And that I kind of got started when I was in China doing that.
And the market today in China, the job market, I mean, becomes harder for foreigners. It's harder to get visas. You know, there are more, let's say, Chinese students coming back to China and they know the Western culture. Still, do you still think that there are opportunities for foreigners in China? What are the best ones, perhaps?
Yeah, I do. I have friends who found jobs recently. So I do definitely think there are still opportunities for foreigners in China. My brother, he has a job. He's doing that technical writing job. I have another friend. She has a job doing, it's like PR work / marketing for a hotel. I have another friend of the company I used to work for. He's the general manager of our China office for that company I used to work for.
I see.
So yeah, I definitely.
Okay. Since now you're fluent in Chinese and that takes a while, we both know this. What do you think is the best method to really learn Chinese? And when or where was the place where you feel that you've improved the most when being in China?
Yeah, I think the best, well, yeah, like you said, it's hard to learn. I think getting started, in my experience, is talking with people is a lot of fun, I find. And so I think that is a good way to start learning Chinese. You know, maybe you could say the best way. But I think it's also necessary before, say you know nothing, start by getting a good foundation. And that starts with listening. So I like to use the Pimsleur language CDs, but there are also other resources out there, different websites like Chinese Pod, and
there are so many now.
Yo-Yo Chinese, yeah, there are tons now, like Fluent U, I think. There are just tons. But find something and start listening. It's not so important that you understand everything they're saying at first, just kind of getting the feel for the language. And then also learn pinyin. There are pinyin tables. So if people don't know, pinyin is the romanization of Chinese characters. So if character, you know, like water, like shui, you would, you know, spell it out shui. And so that learn that and learn the four tones. You don't have to say them perfectly within, you know, a couple weeks. It took me 2 years, I think, before I was, you know, could pick out tones perfect, you know, with, you know, almost 100% accuracy. But Yeah, so that get that foundation. And then from that point, I think the best way is learning in China is great because you can always be practicing. You know, when you go to the store or get in a taxi, you can, there's so many situations where you can learn it. You know, the store checking out, you learn all the numbers and money. And in a taxi, you learn directions and the names of different places around the city, you know, like how to say park.
Right.
Or, you know, like restaurant or like bar or mall. And so that's really great. If you don't have that environment, maybe you're in your home country, I think definitely have some lessons or places somewhere where you can, some way to talk to people, someone regularly.
Right. And speaking is the hardest. I mean, it makes you, I don't think, I think it's engraving your Chinese in your brain.
Yes.
That's the best way. The best way.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, I think speaking is the most difficult, but once you can do it, it engraves it in your brain. And so when you hear it, you like you recognize it.
For me, listening actually is the most difficult. I don't know why, but maybe that's different for me. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it takes me a long time to incorporate what I listen to into my speaking sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We've mentioned your book before. And can you tell us a bit about The Ultimate China Guide, about the book, why you decided to write it, and what's unique about it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I wrote it because I want to help people with their life in China, get to China. A lot of people who have already been to China, it seems like people kind of fall in two main buckets. Either they've never been to China and they're curious about it, or they've been there a while and they're back, but they want to see, you know, what other opportunities there are. So I wrote the book for them, and it's kind of a covers all of those areas. So it talks about the path I went on, complete with some short stories about my experiences there. And it starts off with talking about, you know, why it's a good idea to live and work in China. It affords a great, you know, quality of life. Teaching English, you have a lot of free time and you're paid pretty well as a, you know, when you consider the cost of living there. It kind of depends on the city you live in, but
right,
you're paid pretty decently to live and work, and you can travel around. And so, and then that's another thing I highlight, you know, different travel destinations within the country. Sometimes it can be hard to find. If you've traveled a lot, it's nice to find those places that few people go. So maybe you hear a lot about like Beijing or Xi'an or Shanghai, but you want to know some other places. And so I write about like Huzhou Beishan in Qinghai, which is just this national park. When I visited one July in 2010, there were, you know, very few people there. It's up in the mountains. You know, part of the Tibetan plateau, and, you know, there's just these lakes up in the mountains and this little tiny trail getting up there. And it's not very, you know, touristed, and it's, you know, pretty cool. So
these are hard to find in China.
Exactly. Right. You ask some of your students like, hey, where should I go? They're like Xi'an, you know, or like the capital city of my province. Like, okay. Yeah.
We've got a special link for our listeners for your book. We're going to put this on the show notes, but if you want to go ahead and check it out, this is going to be at chinabusinesscast.com/ultimate. I'm going to repeat that. That's chinabusinesscast.com/ultimate. And it's also going to be at the show notes. So you can also click there at the episode with Nick and chinabusinesscast.com. By the way, any other books you're planning to write more, or that's the last one?
Yeah, I'm also planning to write some more books. Kind of the last section in my book is about finding non-teaching work in China, because as you said, yeah, exactly, right? So a lot of people now, they've been to China, or I'm meeting a lot of people who have kind of done like a study abroad or internship in China, and they're, you know, only 21 years old. and they're thinking like, okay, I speak Chinese and, you know, but what opportunities are there? You know, I've already taught English in China and, you know, what can I do? Do I stay here, go there? And so I'm planning to write another book about finding a job in China, and it's going to have some more information on finding work in China and interviews with people who have done that. And so that's the next project I'm working on. I'm sure there'll be more. Yeah.
Let's get a bit to the digital nomad part in you.
Yeah.
Where you can live and work anywhere. So where is the next place that you're about to go and why?
The next place I'm about to go. Well,
I want to go.
Sure. Okay. So the job I have currently is I'm a medical interpreter, and I just started doing it remotely. So video remote interpreting. Basically, I am hardwired in to the internet, and then I pull up the interface with my company, and then I get calls from all over the U.S. hospitals and clinics about how for medical interpreting purposes with Chinese patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this whole digital nomad movement, I'm excited to, you know, with teaching English, I've kind of been a part of it, but I think with this, I can be more a part of it. And so I'm excited to try living in another part of the U.S. In Minnesota, it's pretty cold right now. So I'm looking forward to going somewhere warm here. I've been thinking either Florida or somewhere around Los Angeles. And having lived in China so many years, I'm excited to explore my own country. So those are two places that I'm excited about going.
Nice. But if you were coming to China now, 2017, would you do something differently from the time you came, or would you do the same thing, recommend the same path to others?
Yeah. if I was doing it again, if I didn't have any prior knowledge or experience about China, I think I would probably do the same thing. My experience in Zhongshan was a great one. The people I met were awesome. And I still go back to Zhongshan as much as possible. It's a great, great city, great place, good people. And
no foreigners.
For those reasons. No, there are a lot of foreigners.
A lot of foreigners there.
Yeah, not as many as Guangzhou or like Shanghai, Hangzhou. Not as many as the capitals, of course, but there's still a foreigner community there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ton. I guess I shouldn't say a lot.
It's all relative.
Right. Yeah, more than other cities I've lived in China. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I would probably do the same thing if I had known what some of these young people know now. You know, a 21-year-old who speaks Chinese and has had an internship in China, I would probably do a little more, put in a little more effort at first to find something else. But knowing nothing and going in. To teach English in a place like Zhongshan, and I think that's great.
You'd do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting towards the end of the interview, and how about you tell us what's the best way to get in touch with you? Website, email, whatever.
Sure. Yeah. So you can get in touch with me through my website, which is ChinaLifeFiles.com. Or you could also send me an email to nick@chinalifefiles.com. Those are probably the best ways. You can follow me on Twitter and YouTube. Those are just Nick Lencheski, LENCZEWSKI.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much for coming, Nick. It was great having you.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Shlomo. This was great.
Awesome. Cheers.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.